Good to see everybody today. So before we get started, we'd like to welcome, as Tony said, everybody who is watching online. So as we are getting going, I would like for everybody to turn around to the camera, put your hands up, and say, "Good morning, Broughtons," because they are might be watching today. So one, two, three, good morning, Broughtons. Yes, yes, indeed. Okay, so my name is Jim Franks. I am the discipleship pastor here, and I get the chance to hang out with you this morning, do some talking. So new series that we're starting today called Sticks and Stones. Most of us probably remember the little saying that we were taught, sticks and stones may break my bones, but... And we all know how big of a lie that is, right? I learned, in my first youth pastor job, I learned the power of words after my very first youth meeting I ever did. Going through seminary, I was young. We were 20, 22, 23, 20, we were kids. And going through seminary, they told us, when you do student ministry, the best thing that you can possibly do is integrate kids with adults. Get kids interacting with adults, because this will do a lot for strengthening the students' involvement in church and all that kind of stuff. So my first youth meeting, I think, I want to do what I was told would be a great idea to do. So the church that we were at had a gymnasium. And at this, so the first meeting, I thought, well, let's get a game together where our kids can play with the adults. So thought this was a fantastic idea. Get a hold of all the kids. They know first meeting is going to be on Saturday afternoon, and we're going to meet in the gym, and let all the adults in church know. So all the kids show up. We've got about 10 middle school kids that show up for this first meeting in the gymnasium. Now, the middle school kids who were there were small. There were several of the young ladies that were about 5 feet tall or shorter. And none of the parents of the kids came. But we had about 6 or 8 adult men show up. Right, you're seeing some foreshadowing happen here, because my idea was, what game could we play all together where we'll have a really good time? Dodgeball! Of course! Everybody loves dodgeball. So, right, a lot of you are shaking your heads because you know what's coming. So we put all the balls in the center. The adults take their sides, kids take their sides. Go, everybody runs to the front. And for the next 45 minutes, there was this bombardment of children from adults who were showing no mercy, who were showing no restraint, and I was one of them. At some point, the light turned on, because as the parents were coming in to pick up their children in the back of the gymnasium, I was looking, as I was holding this dodgeball, at the free throw line, and there were about 10 middle school kids huddled in the corner like this, while these adult men are just bombarding these kids, watching these parents walk in with this look on their face. It was at that point the light turned on. And I said, oh no. So the power of words started Saturday evening as I went and bought flowers and I'm sorry cards and made my way around to each of these families of the children that I had just... yeah. And I went around to each of these homes, and I said, I am so sorry for what just happened today. One of the doors were slammed in my face, justifiably so. The rest of the I'm sorrys were received reluctantly. The power of words came in that I'm sorry opened up a dialogue with these families that, had I left it as it was, I might not have made it through my first month of employment at the church. But the I'm sorrys allowed me back in the door, and I was then able to then continue to build relationships with these families and have wonderful relationships with all of these folks to this day. But had those words not been uttered, not so sure it would have gone as well. Now, fast forward about 6 months into my employment there. And again, I was young. I was taking over for a lady who had been leading the student ministry. She was probably in her mid-40s, mid to late 40s, very established in the church. And so I was taking over. We were seeing a lot of new kids come in. A lot of kids who weren't a part of the church were starting to come in. And it was making a lot of the established members of the church uncomfortable, because these were not church kids who were coming in, and they were leaving soda pop cans laying around, and they were leaving candy bar wrappers laying around. This was a very traditional church, a very Catholic area of the state, and so that very strict thought process had made its way into this church. And I remember walking, my office was upstairs, and I remember walking downstairs, I heard some banging going on. And so I walked back around towards the fellowship hall, and I heard a couple guys that were back there doing some kind of a project. And I got to the doors, double doors, and I got to the doors. It was dark out here, light in there, so they couldn't see me. And I went to open the door, and as I was starting to open the door, I heard one of them say, well, I sure wish the old youth pastor was still in charge. And the other one said, yeah, things were a lot better then. And so I let the door back shut. I kind of stepped back. And a couple of words stuck in my mind, and stuck in my mind for a long time. Some of the words that were said were untrustworthy, were young, immature, disappointment. Can you remember some of those words that have been spoken into your mind? Those words oftentimes will get planted and will grow. And those words will oftentimes continue to speak to us in our mind, echoing through our mind. Some of us have words like dirty, fat, ugly. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. We get sucked into conversations where we listen to people saying things like, well, did you hear what so-and-so did? Well, what about, did you see what this person said? Did you hear what they did? And we can get sucked into these conversations. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can sure hurt me. Does it seem easier for you to allow the positive, upbuilding thoughts, words to come out of your mouth? Or do you find it easier to let the negative stuff out? Do you find more negative kinds of things approaching, trying to make their way out when you're thinking about things that are going on in the world, when you're thinking about things that are going on at work? What tends to come to your tongue quicker, the positive or the negative? does your mouth tend to praise God first? Or does your mouth have a tendency to run down other people or run down yourself? Because we do that a lot too. And why is it so easy? Why is it so stinking easy to get pulled into gossip? You know? Someone starts talking negative, and it's almost like something inside of us is drawn. I want to be a part. I want to listen. I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear the secret. I want to know. I want to be in the know. Why is it so easy to get pulled into that stuff? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 asks a very important question. He says, why do I continue to do the things that I don't want to do? And yet the very thing that I want to do, that is the thing that I just can't seem to bring myself to do. If we want to talk about the Christian all-stars, he's like the captain of the team. The Apostle Paul is the captain of the team. And he still says, why can't I do the things that I want to do? Why do we tend to live in word vomit about ourselves and about other people? Controlling our tongue is a huge challenge. So big. And I don't care how far along we are in our relationship with God, our maturity, it's still a chore to control our tongue. So let's look at what the Bible has to say about this topic of controlling our tongue. So if you have your Bibles, let's take a peek at James chapter 3. That's where we're going to start today. We've got a couple different passages that we're going to be looking at. We're going to be skipping around a little bit. But yeah, let's take a look at James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. So let's, if you got James 3, 1 and 2, we got that up there on the slides. Is that no? Okie dokie. So, Matt, would you mind grabbing my Bible right back there, please? It's right back on that chair. Yes. Good thing I brought my reading glasses up with me. Thank you, sir. Okay, James chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 1 and 2. Let me see, that comes after. Okay, James chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2 says this, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, and he is able to keep his whole body in check. So we know that none of us are perfect, and we know that none of us will always be able to keep our tongue in check. Correct? Because that's what the Bible says. We know that. However, he says, not many of us should presume to be teachers because we will be judged more strictly. How many of you look through Facebook and recognize how many teachers we have on Facebook? And I don't mean teachers who are employed by a school system as a teacher. I'm talking about teachers who say, I know what's right, listen to what I'm saying. Because is that not trying to be a teacher? I know the truth. I know what's right. So here it is. He says, not many of us should presume to be teachers, because we will be held more, what was the word that he said? We judge more strictly, yes. So as we are posting those things on Facebook, truth, not truth, we're looking at the words. What are the words that are coming out of our mouths? What spirit are those words coming out of? And it doesn't just have to be on social media. It's as we have conversations with our coworkers, with our family members, with our friends. Not many persons should presume to be teachers, because we will be judged more strictly. President Obama is evil. President Trump is evil. Black Lives Matter is evil. Antifa is evil. Cops are evil. Strong words. Strong words. What is the spirit that those words are spoken in? Let's keep reading in James chapter 3. Let's look at verses 3 through 6. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Think about those words. Our tongue, do you hear what it's saying? Our tongue is set on fire by hell. Our words are a big deal. The things we say are a big deal. Small things, small parts, as he said, small parts have significant control over the direction of a very large object. A spark can set off a huge forest fire. A small rudder can steer a huge ship. A small bit in the horse's mouth can direct this huge animal. Such small things set the course of whatever this big thing is. Our tongue is small, but it makes great boasts. I know the truth. Do what I say. Listen to me. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of evil. Our tongues corrupt us. The words we speak, they're not just words out here into the wherever we're speaking. Our words make their way back into us and re-corrupt us because of the things we say. When I spew hatred, that hatred comes back inside of me and corrupts me. When I speak in this way, I am corrupting myself. It says so right here. My tongue sets the course of my life on fire, and my tongue is set on fire by hell. Once again, our words are a big deal. The things we say, the things we type are a big deal. Our words determine the direction of our lives, because once they're out, now I have to do something with what I've said. I can't make this boast about what I think is right and all this and then say, well, that was just saying that. I was just tossing that out. No. When I say something, if I'm going to stand behind it, I represent, those words represent me. If I speak hatred, that represents me. If I speak judgmentalism, that represents me. If I speak racism, that represents me. I am my words. Our words are a big deal. And our words are set on fire by hell. What it says here. So let's go on in verses 7 through 8, chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Have you been around any of these folks recently whose tongues are full of deadly poison? Whew. Where do these words come from? These words come from our thoughts. These words that we speak, if we speak gossip, and Pastor Tim's going to be talking about that in a couple weeks here, if we speak hatred, if we speak judgmentalism, if we speak these types of things, these words come from our thoughts. That's why these words are, we represent our words represent us. We are one and the same. We tame these wild animals, but we just can't seem to tame our tongues. These words come from our thoughts. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Does that seem to reflect what comes out of your mouth? I struggled with this for a long time because I was a sarcastic jerk for a long time. My wife is over there smiling and nodding because I was. And it wasn't until fairly recently when I recognized just how destructive my sarcasm was. I can't tell you how many people I've hurt over the years because of the sarcastic words and the sarcastic attitude that I would portray. Could you go back to the Philippians 4 passage, just flip one slide back. Yes. When we think about this idea of whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, when those are the things that are going through our minds, what's going to come out of my mouth? Good, that's right. Those things are going to come out of my mouth if those things are going through my mind. If I'm putting in my head this negative stuff that I'm hearing over and over and over, of course, that's what's going to come out of my mouth. My mind determines what I speak. When he says our tongue is set on fire by hell, it means that must be where my mind is. That must be who is controlling my mind. Because if that is what I'm filling my mind with, I'm going to be speaking praise to God. I'm going to be uplifting my sisters and my brothers. I'm going to be speaking positively about myself. I'll tell you, almost everybody who comes into my counseling office, the things that they believe about themselves, it's harsh. The things that we say about ourselves are oftentimes way worse than anything that anybody else says about us. When we speak those things about ourselves, we are continually corrupting our own thoughts, our own mind. Going on to this next passage, Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. It says this, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When we are setting our mind on earthly things, we're going to be speaking earthly thoughts, earthly things. When we have our mind set on things above, how does God view me? What is God's thoughts of me? What is God's thoughts of these people around me that maybe I don't understand? How does God view these people that I don't understand, that I don't know, that I don't have relationships with? Set your mind on the things above, because then we will speak the words that come from above. Don't set your mind on earthly things, because we corrupt ourselves and we corrupt those around us. When my mind dwells on things of heaven, my mouth will absolutely automatically praise my God. But when my mind dwells on earthly things, anger, frustration, jealousy, judgmentalism, disobedience, my mouth will turn on me. So we go on. Chapter 3, verses 9 through 12 says this: with the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. There should never be curses that come out of our mouths. That is not what we were made for. We were made, as it said, we were made to praise our God, and we were made to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. We were not made to rip each other apart on social media. We were not made to join into gossip. We were not made to damage other people who were made in the image of God themselves, just like me. And we were never made to destroy ourselves through our words. The enemy does enough of that on his own. He doesn't need our help. Two opposing messages cannot emerge from the same source. One message is not from God, and one message is. Either my praise is real and I will not curse people, or my cursing is real and my praise is pretty suspect. Because two opposing thought processes cannot come from the same source. One is legit, one is not. Do I praise? Do I sit? Do I come to worship in the morning and sit and stand and praise God with my mouth, and then go out and allow my mouth to be corrupt, to corrupt myself and to corrupt people around me? One of those is not legitimate, because he says two different messages cannot come from the same place. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. If my mind is abiding on heavenly things, if God is speaking into my mind, my mouth will praise, and my mouth will build up those around me. If I have shut off the flow of words from the Holy Spirit into my mind, if I've shut off that flow, I'm going to speak negatively. I'm going to speak in hatred, and I'm going to speak in cruelty, and I'm going to speak in sarcasm, and I'm going to speak nasty. What is bringing us the source into your mind? I had an interesting experience here about 3 weeks ago. I was in the post office. I mailed a package. I was on my way out, and opened the door, and there was an older gentleman that was walking towards me. He had a mask on. And so I recognized mask, no mask. I'm not sure how he's going to respond to me. So I held the door, and I'd stepped out of the way, stepped off to the side, which would allow him to move in. And he stood there, and he said, okay. So I let the door go, and he said, I don't trust anybody that's not wearing a mask. Okie dokie. So I started to walk away, and he shouted a couple other rude things on my way past. I went from there into a counseling session. Where do you suppose my mind was? I was stuck with this gentleman who spoke these words with this attitude into my heart. And that stuck with me for part of the day. Now, we say, well, you know, suck it up, buttercup. It's not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal unless you have been told in your past you are untrustworthy. You are dirty. You are not to be trusted. When those kinds of things happen, something clicks. And then that kind of sticks with you for a while. Have you seen these videos online with the people who will go into a store and they're not wearing masks, and they approach someone who is wearing a mask and like coughing on them and breathing on them? How cruel. How absolutely cruel to treat another person that way. We don't know why is that person wearing a mask. There's a really good reason. And for those of us who don't wear masks, to treat someone that way, that's using our mouths in a very, that's allowing our mouths to be controlled by hell. Because that is not love. There is no love there. Is it right to wear a mask? Is it right not to wear a mask? It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. What we're talking about today is, how are you using your mouth? Are you using your mouth for love? Are you using your mouth to build bridges, to strengthen people, to strengthen yourself, to praise God, to bring honor to those around us? That's how we're supposed to be using our mouths, not to cut each other's down. Our words are a big deal, because it says our last passage is Matthew chapter 12. So let's take a look at Matthew 12. Verses 33 through 37 says this: make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. That person who was coughing on someone else is a bad tree. There, you see that by their fruit. Their fruit, their actions show what's going on in their mind, in their heart. That gentleman who stood in front of me and said those rude things, that's a bad tree. We know, because what comes out of his mouth is bad, is rude. He says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. We don't get to just speak words and have there be no consequences. We will be held account for every word that comes out of our mouths. We will give an account when we stand before God of every careless word we spoke. Jesus said that. We know it because there's red printing. Jesus said, every word that comes out of your mouth and every word that comes out of my mouth will be recorded, and we will give account for that. So as we speak, as we continue to go through this season, and there continues to be division in our culture, how we use our mouths is a big deal. How we speak to each other is a big deal. Because they're not careless words. They're not just words. We speak out of the overflow of our heart. So as we go through this week and as we begin this series of sticks and stones, let's start gearing our minds in this thought process of how am I using my words? Am I honoring God? Or am I causing myself problems in the future? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you so much for communicating with us what you have in mind, how you understand things, how you desire to be glorified and honored. And God, I pray that you would, for those of us who is all of us, who struggle with keeping our tongues tamed, God, I pray that you would begin to fill us with a new understanding of how to speak words that honor you. Bring us conviction when we are disobedient in the things that we say. And we are so thankful that you are such a gentle God, and that even when we need corrected and even when we need disciplined, that you are so gentle in your discipline. So we pray that you would lead us as this week continues in your name. Amen.